The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Hi there, many thanks for joining us. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Just 4 days to go until the tapes go up on the 2022 Cheltenham Festival, and hopefully the panel will be able to swell your betting bank with some decent winners on the seven races being shown on ITV4 on Saturday. There are four from Sandown, three from Wolverhampton. We will look at each of those. The boys will give us the rest of their Saturday fancies. We'll have the naps, and then we'll look ahead to day one of the festival. I'm Bruce Millington. Welcome along. I'm delighted to be joined this week by my Racing Post colleagues, Paul Keighley and Keith Melrose, and also making a very welcome return to the show. It's been many, many years, but it was on the early days of the Postcards. It's Leon Blanche from Boyle Sports. Right then, let's jump straight in. The first race at Sandown we're going to look at on Saturday is the 150. And there's no easy warm-up to this, I'll tell you. This is tough. The 17 runners for the 2 mile, 4 furlongs, European Breeders' Fund, Paddy Power, National Hunt, Novices Handicap Hurdle Final. So hopefully we'll get some extra places. Leon will tell us all about that. But in the meantime, Boyle Sports go 9-2 Nappers Hill, 5-1 Thunder Rock, 6 Hour Jet, 7 PJB, 8-1 Dubrovnik Harry, and it's 12-1 Bar. Leon, do you remember doing these shows back in the day? A lot of water's flowing under the bridge since then, hasn't it?
Hello, Bruce. Yeah, no, look, it's many, many years ago, but it's great for us to be back on with you guys. Looking forward to, obviously, the weekend, but more anticipation with next week. I just wish it was bloody here already. I think there's such a build-up for Cheltenham. It's getting more and more ridiculous every year.
When are you flying over, Leon?
I'm going to fly over Monday morning, mate. Always walk back on Monday.
You've grown up a bit now. Will you be wearing socks this week, or are you still a fashion icon who goes sockless for the Cheltenham Festival?
Bruce, I've always wore socks, mate. I'm not one of those lads who ever went anywhere without socks. Keels will tell you that. We've gone to a couple of nightclubs in our days. I've always had socks on.
Good lad. Excellent. Yeah. Right. Okay, then we'll give us a winner. First of all, we've got any extra places here on this one?
Well, on this one, Bruce, we're paying 5 places in this particular race. At 150. So we're going to have plenty of extra places over this weekend and certainly next week in Cheltenham. But looking through it, Nappers Hill, not so sure. Should he be favourite? Arjet is my own selection. He's 2 from 2 since he's had the wind up. I think the form of his last win has been franked by the second. And I still think this horse is fairly treated off 122. So for me, I'm going to go with Arjet in the 150.
Leon, is your throat okay? You sound like most people will sound next Friday. It's a bit worrying going into the festival.
My throat is in an absolute heat, mate. It's very bad. It's probably been doing all these Cheltenham previews and maybe a couple of Guinness after them. But no, hopefully you heard Arjet. I think he should run very well in this 150.
We got that loud and clear. You rest your throat while the lads tell us who they fancy. Keith.
Yeah, this is always a really good pointer for chasers the next year, so I always get very familiar with this race, albeit generally after the event. The good chasing prospects don't tend to win it, certainly not in recent years, but I'm maybe going to hopefully buck that trend. The horse I sort of picked out, it's dead competitive, so you definitely want those extra places. I thought King of the West was a horse that was really interesting me. He's run 3 times over hurdles just, and he had 1 go beyond 2 miles. It was at Taunton. Taunton's a real speed track. So this horse just hasn't had the sort of test he needs so far. Before he ran in rules, he was 2nd in a point. The horses that he beat in 3rd and 4th, they're both mid-1-teens hurdlers these days. So, you know, it's a decent point form as that goes. And he's just looked a little bit shy of pace when he got beat by Current Mood at Chepstow over 2 miles. And then again, he would have won his race at Exeter last time more comfortably, but for the fact it was 2 miles, he had to be, you know, kept up to his work there. Looks like a horse that's going to prove much, much better than 120. And he's going to be a smashing prospect next year for fences, but hopefully on the way he can land himself a nice prize here.
Keith's throat is in good shape. Now, Keels, I mean, no one hammers the preview circuit more than Keels. So can you still speak?
I'm not in great shape, mate. I'm glad nobody can see me for this podcast anyway, because I have a right mess after last night and the previous three that I've done. But I did my study beforehand, so I know what I'm on about.
Good.
I've got a couple that I like for this. PJB, I just like the way he won at Sandown two starts ago, over course and distance. He really travelled really well, came to the last to take it up. He was already in command when the one alongside him fell. He dropped back in trip at Sedgefield last time, didn't suit him, still won at long odds on. But at a bigger price, I've become interested in a horse called Jerash of Gary Moore's. Now, again, he was pretty underwhelming last time. 13 days ago at Fontwell, he won at fives on in a three-runner race against his against the stable mate. But it just meant the handicapper couldn't put him up. It got him. You have to run three times, so he got qualified for the race. And his previous runs are far more interesting. He obviously won at Ascot over 2.5 on his debut at 20-1. And then he finished third in the Sydney Banks at Huntingdon. And the race wasn't run to suit at all. It was a bit of a speed race, and he got a little bit tap for toe. But he got beat by L.A. Bell, who would have been fancied for the mare's hurdle if she wasn't going straight to Aintree instead. So that makes it interesting. I just had a look at past runnings of this, and in 2014, Gary Moore won this race with Brave Vic, who had an old underwhelming qualifying run 13 days earlier at Fontwell. And in 2017, he had the 25-1 fourth called Crystal Lad, who made the mistake of winning very easily 13 days earlier at Fontwell and went up £9 and finished fourth. If he hadn't gone up £9, he'd have got in the race and he'd have won. So I'm not worried about that underwhelming run. I think it looks like a plan, and he's going to love the stiff test at the trip.
Okay. And Kiels, have you still not learned? You know, most professionals, when they go to these preview nights, they go there, they do their thing. And then once they finish the Friday, they say, thank you very much. If you want to give me a drink, give me a drink. And then they get off home. I presume with you, you still have people coming and going, Kiels, come and let me buy you a drink.
Well,
I'll just have one. And then 28 later, you're in a wreck. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I have been good most of the week. And I was good yesterday. When I left the pub, I was stone cold sober. But unfortunately, I had my cousin staying overnight. And we came back here and did half a bottle of brandy. So so other than that, you know, we'd have been fine.
Righty-ho. Okay, let's move on to the 2.25 at Sandown on Saturday. It's the 2-mile Paddy Power Imperial Cup handicap hurdle, and we've got 22 runners. It's even harder this time, or is it? Because we've got a short price favorite. Boyle Sports goes 7-2 Balco Coastal for Hendo, and then it's 8-1 One More for the Road, something Kiel said a lot last night. 8-1 History Bear, 10-1 Samarive, 10 Lucky One, 14 Surprise Package, and 14 others. Blooming Eck, Keith, this doesn't look very easy.
No, it doesn't, does it? I mean, there's an argument for keeping it easy. Balco Coastal is almost certainly a better horse than that 1.34 mark. I'm not putting up a horse at 7-2 in this sort of race. You know, I massively respect his chance. I wouldn't argue with anybody that backs that horse, but I just couldn't bring myself to tip him. It's just not that sort of race where I'd be betting on that sort of horse. The one that I've picked out that it's a very interesting one is Lucky One, Dan Skelton. Now, it was with Paul Nicholls last year, and ended up running behind My Drogo, Skelton's best novice hurdler last year in the Premier Novice Hurdle at Kelso. Went off just about second favourite for that race, I think. And Skelton's got a hold of the horse. He's come down and he's dropped £12 this year, having gone off at SPs of 14-1, 22-1 and 40-1. The last of those was in a good risk at all race at Ascot. He finished 43 lengths beat, but there was a lot more promise in that one. He moved up relatively easily, in fact, pretty easily, before... You just seem to get tired or something. I'm sure you can join the dots yourself. And came home in his own tight and finished third. The fact he's come down £18 and now he's running in this race, you know, he's too low to get in a Cheltenham handicap. So Dan Skelton knows there's no, you know, we don't have to worry about keeping our mark above 130, just get him as low as we can and get him in the Imperial Cup. And here we go. He showed a lot more ability, was still intact than previously last time. He's a very interesting runner here.
Lucky One is Keith's selection. Who's your selection, Kiels?
Yeah, exactly the same. I put him up in a weekender. Last March he was 9-2, just getting £5 off my Drogo. So he was really well rated. That was a great two at Kelso. It obviously hasn't gone right for him since, but I did back him last time at Ascot, and he did. He just didn't get home. It was atrocious ground. It was 2-mile, 3.5 furlong. I think his best form is at a shorter trip, although, you know, you could argue that he has stayed in maiden hurdles. I don't think in handicaps he does. So, I quite like him. I got the impression on Wednesday night, we did a preview in Chelsea. I got the impression from Nicky Henderson that Balco Coastal is running here because he's not good enough to beat the two that he's got in the county hurdle. So this is the race for him. So if he does win, then it might be worth looking at the at his county hurdle horses, one of which is First Street, which I think is going to end up being fairly well backed.
Does he get in the county off that mark anyway, Kiel?
It get very close to him. I mean, he got in up in the 120s last year, I think. So.
All right. Well, no social runners last year.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okie dokes. Thank you, chaps. We've got two votes for Lucky One. Is it three votes for Lucky One, Leon?
No, it's not going to be, Bruce. I'm going to go for the horse right above him, number 15, Mr. Grace Guy. I think he's a progressive sort. Won his last two at Leicester and at Ludlow. David Bass obviously gets on extremely well with him. Kim Bailey's horses are in good fettle. We're looking to take on the favourite. Although Nicky has said that he hasn't really ran much, the horses aren't in fantastic form. The form got a little bit of a letdown last time with North Lodge getting beaten. So we're going to give Mr. Grace Guy a bit of a chance. I think he's around about a 16 or 18 to 1 chance. We're paying six places on the Imperial Cup, Bruce. So hopeful that he'll at least hit the frame.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Leon. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock at Sandown. Now, 2 miles is the trip again, and it's the British Stallion Studs EBF Mares Standard Open National Hunt Flat Race. So we've got a bumper. Very rare that you get bumpers on ITV, but we've got one here, and we've got a favourite from Milton Harris's stable called Mullenbeg, who is 11 to 8. It's Lucia at 4s, 9 to 2 Hidden Beauty. Boyle Sports goes 7 to 1 E-Bar Grace, and it's 12 to 1 Bar. Kills, you've got a head full of Cheltenham. You've had a big study of the big handicap at Sandown. I wouldn't have thought that the bumper has necessarily captured too much of your attention, but no, have you managed to sniff one for us?
No, not really. I mean, I couldn't care less what wins the bumper next week, to be honest. I'm just not a bumper man. So, I mean, Mullenbeg was pretty impressive when last seen 6 weeks ago. I think his Hidden Beauty was quite well fancied in that, and there was something wrong with her, so she pulled up. So, you know, she's going to be better than that. A Flirtatious Girl won the race last year and has just had one run since, and might be in, you know, and that was behind Mullenbeg, but she was giving her a bit of weight. She's off levels with her now. She's probably entitled to get a bit closer now, and she's obviously been kept back for another crack at it. But, no, you know, it's not a betting race for me.
Okay. That's a very, very long-winded way of saying you couldn't give a toss. Leon.
Look, I suppose Mullenbeg, been impressive so far, but in a mare's bumper at 11 to 8, Bruce, I'm sure the bookies will be looking to try and take her on a little bit. She's a little bit short, but she has done what she's had to do so far. Don't know what else really can put it up to her that much. In terms of the betting, Lucia, for Nicky's, his second favourite, just at 4 to 1. Maybe Fergal O'Brien's. I know Hidden Beauty was pulled up last time, but I think maybe Hidden Beauty could run a race in this. Mullenbeg deserves to be favoured, but probably too short.
Okay, Keith, inject some enthusiasm into this section of the show.
Afraid not. Mine's a slightly warmer version of what Kiel said. Besides the little bet I'm going to have on Flirtatious Girl, couldn't care beyond that in this race, to be honest. I watched the Cheltenham race back. Yes, Mullenbeg was impressive. Flirtatious Girl just gave the distinct impression she wasn't quite fit. And obviously he's been lined up for another go at this. It'll be a last go in bumpers. There's obviously been a hold up. They've gone, right, let's go back to Sandown. And that's exactly what they're doing. That being the case, 12 to 1 just seems a little bit, in fact, quite a big bit on the big side. So I will be having a wee bet on her. But beyond that, you know, that's my only real interest in the race.
Okay, we move on then to the 3:35 at Sandown on Saturday. 2.5 miles is the trip for the Paddy Power Novices Handicap Chase. Just the six runners, but it is competitive. Boyles go 11 to 4, Danny Kerwin. 100 to 30, Seen Not Heard. 7 to 2, Killer Kane. 5, Dorking Lad. 11 to 2, Frenchie Delage. And 12 to 1, Flicou Voyou. And we're back with you, Leon, to go first.
Yeah, Bruce, look, I'm a big fan of a horse that's always improving, and especially has improved dramatically for going over fences, and Seen Not Heard certainly falls into this type of category. Up in grade doesn't really bother me, if I'm being honest. I think this horse has been exceptional since it's gone over the larger obstacles. When you look at his last three wins, Ludlow, Hereford and Newcastle, I just think this horse is in love with the fence. And even though it's going to carry top weight, even though it's in a higher standard of company, I just think this horse could still win and make it 4 out of 4.
Leon, you need to take it very, very easy this weekend. I hope you're just going to lie in a darkened room with a glass of hot water with honey in it and give that throat a rest. Because we all know you can go into Cheltenham feeling absolutely great, but by the end of it, 4 days, it absolutely wrecks you. If you're starting off like you sound, I fear for you, my friend. Are you going to be all right?
Oh, listen, Bruce, we'll be all right. Maybe a couple of little hot whiskies. They tell me it's good for a sore throat. So we just won't be able to cheer on Ireland against England tomorrow in the rugby, but we'll have to watch it in silence.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, we'll see what happens there. Keith, what do you make of the 3:35?
Well, obviously, people know that chasing's what I watch. And it's when something's your interest, you can struggle to be objective about it. You know, people that love point to points and all that, they always overrate hunter chase form. And I'm a little bit the same with something like this. When a horse jumps, like Seen Not Heard has jumped, you struggle to be objective with it. I mean, this is the most natural novice I've seen go over fences this winter. He jumps like Colin Jackson. It's incredible to watch. You know, he's unbeaten so far. Yes, as Leo says, he is going up in grade. But at Newcastle, he beat Luck of the Draw, who was on a hat trick. And then at Ludlow, he did Manila Trump for speed. And Manila Trump was going for something like an 8-timer, I think it was, he was going for in that race. So this is definitely a progressive horse. He's almost certainly been saved for the spring, because that last Ludlow run was in December there. My very tiny, minuscule doubt is this set of owners almost always aim their horses at Aintree. And I wonder if Seen Not Heard might be going for the Red Rum, which is the race Ben Talamar won for these same connections 4 years ago. It is a tiniest crumb of a doubt that he might not be quite fully tuned up for this, but he is one of the most exciting novice chasers I've seen this year at his level. I'm not saying he's going to be beating Shishkin this time next year, but he's taken to it so well. And I love this horse. I'm going to be backing him.
Oh, that's as enthusiastic as Keith Melrose ever gets. Seen Not Heard is the vote of both of the lads. Keels, are you going to weigh in with them as well?
I'm not. I can certainly see the case for him. But when I was looking at this, I thought this was actually a very, very tightly knit handicap. And when it's like that, I start looking at the ones at bigger prices. And I thought to myself, I don't really see why Flicko Voyou should be the absolute complete outsider here at twice the price of anything else. So I'm going to have a little go on him. He won a 2.5 mile chase, 2 mile free furlong chase in November. It was only a match, but with Jacamar, who's run really well since. And I think the ground was just starting to get a bit soft for him last time at Doncaster. He's had a break. He's a proper good ground horse. In the spring last year, on the final day of the season last year, he ran his best ever race over hurdles at this track on good ground, went 2nd of 14 in a handicap. If he runs to that sort of a level off a mark that's £2 lower than he was then over fences, I think he's capable of running a big race at a price.
Thank you very much, gents. That was Sandown. Now, if you're a flat fan and you're sick of all this jumps talk and Cheltenham and everything, the next few minutes are for you, because we've got 3 races at Wolverhampton.
The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Experience an epic Cheltenham on the Boyle Sports app with extra places and exclusive offers every day of the Cheltenham Festival. Boyle Sports, this is betting.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, Keith Melrose and from Boyle Sports, Leon Blanche. Let's look at Wolverhampton's 3 Saturday races on ITV4, starting with the 1:31. It's the Betway Handicap over 6 furlongs, and Boyle Sports make Zarzini the 9-4 favourite. Then it's 4-1 Exalted Angel, it's 11-2 Above and Whittle the Woods, 7-1 Asa Jamira, 9-1 Mighty Gurkha, and 14 Bar. Keith Melrose, who do you like in this?
No bet race for me, this one, Bruce. I was surprised I looked at this race to the amount of horses I actually recognised from the turf last year, but, you know, I've not been watching these horses through the winter. I felt a bit disingenuous even putting something up, so I'm not going to. I do have something in other Wolverhampton races. This Lincoln trial that's coming up is just about the first flat race of the year I watch, because you can start getting some good form lines here, but this 1:31 is a no bet race for me. Uh-huh.
Thank you, Keith. He lets that one through to the goal, through to the wicketkeeper. Keels, you're going to tackle this
one? Oh, I wish I was allowed to say I couldn't care less about all three of them. But
you are. You can, honestly. I promise you can.
No, honestly, the absolute horror of trying to study flat racing 4 days before Cheltenham. But I did have a little go, and I actually came up with Mighty Gurkha for this. Last season, after a couple of months off, he came back and finished second to Diligent Harry in the all-weather championship at Lingfield. And he was rated 103 then. It hasn't been so good for him since, but I mean, he's had a little break and he's down to 93. If he returns to that sort of form, then 9-1 is a fair price. Now, you know, you've got to hope that he does, but Archie Watson seems to have his team in pretty good form. He's had three winners recently. And so I'll give him a shot because, you know, there's an easy enough case for saying he's the best handicap horse in the race.
Okay, very professional, Keels. Diligent as ever, putting in the work, regardless of whether it's Cheltenham or Wolverhampton. Leon, have you found one for us here, my friend?
Look, Bruce, I'm probably just going to side with Zarzini at 11-4. There's no doubt he has been frustrating. If you've been following him with 3 seconds in a row, last time out he was second over five. I think stepping back up to six will help. Jamie Spencer looks the ideal partner for him because he travels well and he can finish quite strongly. Hopefully things can fall right for both of them tomorrow. Look, it's not a great idea always to be backing horses who tend to find themselves unlucky. But I think tomorrow is probably his chance to put it right. I just think the return to six could be the winning of this race for Zarzini.
Thank you very much. Right, let's move on to the 205. It's the Mansion Bet Lincoln Trial over 1 mile and 1 furlong. Boyle Sports have a warm favourite trained by Roger Varian in La Tihati. 4-1, Hafit Alain. 7, Baldomero. 8, United Front. 9, Notre Bella Bet. And 10, Bar. Keith sounds quite excited, but he's going third. So we'll see if Keels and Leon can put up anything compelling before Keith has his say. Keels?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you certainly can't argue with Latihati being favourite. It was a very easy winner last time. Was getting a fair bit of weight, but from a good horse in Misty Grey. You know, but he is up £9. He does have stall 12 wide on the outside. So that would worry me a little bit. I thought Baldomero might run well from stall one for Michael Appleby. He's already he's come from Joseph O'Brien for the horse watchers. He's run 2 fine races, just got beat first time, then just won next time at Kempton. And he had some good form left-handed at Dundalk for Joseph O'Brien. So I thought he might go well.
Okay, Leon?
Don't like going for favourites here, Bruce, but La Tihati, and there's been a bit of support for him. He's a variant horse, definitely on an upward curve. I'm not really concerned about the opposition. I think Keels has given a real good point there in terms of drawing in stall 12. But Safi Osborne has taken off 5, and hopefully she can negotiate that without burning up too much gas, and hopefully he can win again. He just looks to be a horse that's certainly enjoying his racing. He's gone up the weights, but I think he might just have one more in him.
2 votes for La Tihati. Keith?
It was the draw that sort of put me off La Tihati, and I don't need much excuse when they're 15-8 for a race like this. I mean, you've bigged up as a strong view. It's just a race I had a decent look at because I know I'm going to have to know some of these horses in a few months' time. I came down the same place roughly as Keels. It was Baldomero, who's only had the 2 runs for Mick Appleby, having previously been with Joseph O'Brien, got sold 3 times before he was 2, or by the time he was 2, for $800,000 in total. And he got sold out to Joseph for $32,000. But he wasn't actually, he was just plateauing rather than disappointing. And he was Mick Appleby got him back to his best immediately when he ran over a mile at Kempton. And then the emphasis was very much on speed when he went over a mile 2 there last time. You suspect, I mean, I don't know, I've not spoken to any of them, but the horse watchers have this race a little bit in their minds a lot of the time. It's quite a valuable race that isn't always massively competitive. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if this had always been the race that he was going to be running in. So Baldomero, I just thought, looked a really attractive price with a lot going for him at 7-1.
Okay, our final TV race on Saturday is the 240 at Wolverhampton. It's the 7 furlong Mansion Bet Lady Wolf Runa Stakes. It's a listed race. There are 10 runners and it's got an open feel to it with Misty Grey favourite at 11-4 with Boyle Sports. And then it's 4-1 Happy Power, 11-2 Highfield Princess, 6 International Angel, 8-1 River Nymph, and 9-1 Bar. And we'll start with you, Leon. What have you got for us?
I'm going to go with Happy Power. Bruce, he's got some very, very classy form in the book. Wasn't beaten that far in the Group 1 Champion Sprint, the Dyben Jubilee, or even the Group 2 Lennox States at Goodwood last year. He's one of my better selections here at Wolverhampton. He ran with huge credit in Saudi Arabia only a couple of weeks ago. I suppose if he's not the worst for that trip, I think he's going to take a fair bit of beating here. A lot of his rivals are drawn high, which should help him because he's drawn from stall two. And I just think he's got a little bit more class than a listed race.
Okay. We are Happy Power then for Leon. Who for Keith?
It was quite a tight race, obviously. But I thought Highfield Princess was getting a little bit dismissed because of what she did last time at Chelmsford. She was 8-13 that day, but she'd opened about 4-9. So she was obviously thought that was her first one since October. And you can imagine that obviously that market move tells you that she was thought maybe not quite ready to run her very best race. And yeah, she didn't. She ran £30 below form, got beat when she should have been shelling peas, really. But her form is also links into a lot of good group race form last year. You know, she was sixth in that champion sprint. She's also been placed at, she was second to Space Blues, actually, at the Ebor meeting in the City of York Stakes. A lot of quite good form going back. Everything should be in her favour here. It's an old Keeley trick that I pick up, but if she hadn't run in that race at Chelmsford, I think she'd be a damn sight shorter than 11-2. She has, obviously, but there's excuses. So I'm quite keen on Highfield Princess here at these prices.
Okay, and Paul Keeley.
Yeah, I think I'm keeping this one simple and just going with Misty Gray. I think he's in the form of his life. You know, it probably turns out that was a really good run when second to Latihati, giving him, you know, £11 as a big old chunk of weight. And he just loves Wolverhampton. He's won every time he's run here. Four runs, four wins. He's at the top of his form. I think he'd probably be able to beat.
Okay, that's the TV action. Loads more weekend winners and some Cheltenham clues coming right up.
Cheltenham Festival is nearly here, and now is an excellent time to subscribe to Racing Post Members Club. You can rely on our team of award-winning journalists to keep you informed during the build-up to and throughout the biggest racing event of the year. Plus, you'll unlock unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper from 9 p.m. the evening before it's available in the shops. For a limited time only, new customers pay just $9.99 for their first month and unlock all subscriber benefits. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, Paul Keeley, Keith Melrose, and Boyle Sports' Leon Blanche. We've done the TV action. Let's see what the lads fancy elsewhere. We've got the Sandown and Wolverhampton undercards. We've got Ayr and Hereford over the sticks. All-weather flat fans have got Kempton and Lingfield, as well as Wolverhampton. And in Ireland, they're racing at Navan and Garran Park. So stacks of racing. Have you got anything apart from your nap that you want to tell us about, Keith Melrose?
Yeah, just one for me this time. It's after the cameras have gone at Sandown, the 4:10. Last week, we were talking about the Grimthorpe, and I sort of suggested that Powerstone Park was a bit of a potentially runner in that race. He got pulled out because the ground went really quite deep at Doncaster, and I think with this horse the key is not being too deep in terms of ground. You know, he's won since going up and trip over fences. He's won two of his three, both on good ground at Hereford. The other time it was the Lincolnshire National Market Raisin on Boxing Day, and he basically drowned in deep ground. So assuming they don't get too much rain, there's a forecast about 5 mil as far as I could tell. It's Sandown, it's currently good ground. Hopefully it's just sort of soft side at worst. And in that case, I think Powerstone Park can run a really big race in that 4:10 at Sandown. But that's all I've got on Saturday.
Okay, well, Kiehl's lives within literally walking distance of Sandown. Is it raining now?
Yeah, it's raining a bit at the moment. It's not really heavy. And they've had some serious drying days. So the ground's actually rock hard outside my house. So, you know, they probably did a bit of watering throughout the season because it's been so dry. But I mean, I don't think it'd be bad ground at all, so that'd be okay. I have also looked at Sandown. I've got a couple of admin naps. I won't mention the nap until later. But I was having a look at the opening race at Sandown because I'm going tomorrow, so I like to look at all of them. And there was one show out, and the show made Hasty Parisian and Langerfell, first and second favourites. Yeah, on both Racing Post ratings and top speeds, they are comfortably the worst two horses in the field from a handicapping perspective. So if our handicap is right, the market's wrong. And I quite like the look of Monsieur Pom Pom of Adrian Keatley. I've got Tom Midgley claiming five off him. Ran a fair race, a couple of fair races over hurdles at Catterick, and one poor one in between when favourite. And I think going handicapping off a mark of 107, it's probably a fair mark. And then we go to the very last race, very expensive for me 2 weeks ago. Day Rand a Carjack fell at the third at Kempton. I'd just been waiting for him to go 2.5 mile on fast ground on a right-handed track, and he did that and fell. So I've got to give him another go because he's extremely well handicapped on his old form, and pretty much everything is in his favour.
Excellent. Leon, have you got anything for us? Don't give your nap away.
No, I'm not going to give it away, Bruce. I'm going to go in the 4:35 at Navan tomorrow. It's a handicap chase over 3 miles. Might be a couple of pointers here for the Boyle Sports Irish National, but Regina Dracone for Tom Givney, Jack Foley claiming a very valuable five off this one. I was very impressed with his performance last time out, Bruce, at Ferry House on soft ground over 3 miles, 1.5 furlongs. There's been a lot of rain here in Ireland. Wednesday, it's been raining non-stop today. He has won on heavy ground in Limerick as well over Christmas, over 2 miles, 6.5. I just think conditions are going to be perfect. Jack Foley, he's a young lad going extremely well, and he's definitely going places. I think that £5 claim could be the winning for Regina Dracones.
Lovely stuff. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Leon Blanche.
The nap, Bruce. There's two of them that I like, but I suppose I'll have to just give you one, won't I, really?
You really will.
I'm going to go to Sunday. Going to go to Limerick in the 155. Excuse me. It's a mare's novice hurdle, grade 3. And I think we might be seeing these colours in the winner's enclosure a couple of times next week. Brampton Bell for Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore. She was very, very good last time out, winning at Navan. Again, it was heavy ground. The weather forecast here for the next couple of days is bundles of rain. So it should be very, very testing, as it always is down in Navan. Down in Limerick. She was a winner over 2.5 at Navan. It's a very, very steep uphill finish. Not as steep in Limerick over 2.6. I'm going to go with the Kenneth Alexander-owned Brampton Bell as my nap on Sunday.
Lovely in the honeysuckle colours. Keith, who's your nap?
That's his favouritism, isn't it? I asked last week or another week to get a Sunday for my nap and I got told to bugger off.
Yeah, it was just as well. It wouldn't have won, would it?
No, it didn't win. Am actually. Right? Right. It was last week.
So there you go. Think on.
So I'm not going to surprise anybody here. My nap in the 3:35 at Sandown. It's seen, not heard.
Okay. And Keels?
Yeah, I'm going to Sandown 4:10 of all the gin joints. I saw him run at Kempton last time and I got quite excited by him because he jumped really well. It was his first run after a wind up. He jumped really well. He had everything in trouble apart from Phlegmatic turning for home. Phlegmatic went by and won quite easily by 7.5 lengths, but went up £7, smashed up another field at Kempton next time and has gone up a further 9. So I think that's that was a good run. It was certainly his best run for a while. So the wind surgery looks to have worked. He's entitled to come off on for it. He is £11 lower than when fifth in a grade 3 Aintree handicap on Grand National Day last season. And I think he will take the world a beating.
Okay, gents, that's the weekend done and dusted. Let's just dip our toes in to the Cheltenham pool. Starts on Tuesday. And let's focus on just on the Tuesday card for the purposes of the rest of this show. I want a good thing and a long shot from each of you. So I'll start with you, Kills. If you are only backing one horse and the instruction was make it a winner on Tuesday, who would it be? You're not allowed to say Honeysuckle.
Right, okay. I am now going to say Constitution Hill, I think. Having gone through the rounds, it seems fairly certain. So Gerhard's going a longer trip. rumours Dynamo isn't working very well, and Constitution Hill very much is. So he'd be the good thing of the week. 1-0 to the Brits.
Okay. Leon, just quickly before you you give us your good thing, was last year's Irish domination really bad for Boyle Sports? Because you're an Irish based bookmaker, not exclusively Ireland by any means, but were all those winners like crippling you, you know, race after race, or was it not too bad?
It was bad, Bruce, but it would have been an awful lot worse if Shaquin Persois had won the champion chase, because he was involved in nearly, I don't know, 75-80% of Akka's. He went off, 13-8 on favourite. So, I mean, he saved us most definitely. It was still a bad Cheltenham anytime you get 23 Irish winners, but there was a lot of big-priced Irish winners across the 4 days, so it could have been worse.
Okay, mate. Right then, one bet on Tuesday, Leon.
I've got to go with In the Boodles, Gaelic Warrior. It's just a rating of 129. What we're hearing about him is very, very lenient indeed. And a lot of people are saying that this could be the Irish banker on day one. So I think Gaelic Warrior, if all the reports are true, he should take an awful lot of stopping In the Boodles.
Thank you very much. Ball Sports go 9-4 Gaelic Warrior. Keith, who's your day one good thing?
Well, the bet I'm having on Tuesday, the only one that I'm absolutely thinking I want to get tucked into this, is I'm dutching Kiltilly Briggs and Cora Crambler and the Ultima. I think they're both really well, quite handicapped horses. But a good thing to stick in, I'd probably say Edward Stone in the Arco, because I'm not sure the Irish in that race are up to all that much. And yes, the British horses maybe aren't either, but he's beaten almost literally all of them. So I think he, if it was reversed and this was an Irish horse that had stood out, he'd be a lot shorter than 2-1.
Boyle Sports are
9-4. Well, yes, there you go. So he's if it was the other way around, this was an Irish horse that had dominated Ireland and the British were all much of a muchness, you can imagine the Irish horse would be an awful lot shorter. So Edward Stone's dead solid, but as I say, my real proper bet, Ultima was my big betting race on day one.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that, because I want to get your value bets now. Kills, if there's one at maybe a double figure price that you like the look of on Tuesday.
Well, I think it's not quite double figures now, but I got, you know, like what Keith said about the Irish in the Arco. The Irish, all, you know, they win the National Hunt Chase more often than not, but I don't think their horses are all that good. We got a favourite in Run Wild Fred, who's 9-4. He's only won one of his 10 chase starts. So I don't think they stand out. And Rebecca Curtis, who has won this race before, she's got Pat's Fancy in there, and his form has worked out. He beat Jericho Rock in a handicap at Chepstow in December. Jericho Rock went on to be second in the Warwick Classic. He thrashed Imperial Alcazar back at Chepstow later on that month. Imperial Alcazar won on trials day. And then he finished what was a fair second, I think, to Brave Man's Game over 2 miles, 7.5 at Newby. He's an out-and-out stayer. Apparently, Barry O'Neill has been booked for at least 2 months for this ride, and I think it's going to be very hard to kick him out of the frame.
Okay, he's 9-1 with Boyles. Leon, what have you got for us? Have you heard anything? Is there a horse that keeps cropping up when you're doing all these Cheltenham previews on the Irish circuit?
Not really. I mean, look, bar the obvious kind of on day one, Bruce, but I mean, a mare here that I think is overpriced on day one, and she takes an awful lot of work in terms of getting her fit, is Heaven Help Us in the Mare's Hurdle. I just think, excuse me, she's been overlooked a little bit. She finished in a blanket finish with Royal Kahala herself and Tell Me Something Girl at Leopardstown. Yes, Tell Me Something Girl was giving her a little bit of weight that day. However, if you look back at this mare, she had 7 runs last year before she went and won the Coral Cup. She's only had the 4 runs this year. And I think she's definitely one that takes a lot of work to get fit. She'll go from the front. She shouldn't encounter too many problems. That's her way of running. She only ran in the race against Honeysuckle last time in terms of getting more fitness on her side. And I just think she's a little bit overlooked, maybe because it's a small trainer, but a 10-1 each way, I think she's got a cracking chance.
Never mind Heaven Help Us, Heaven Help Leon. You've got no chance, my friend. I tell you, you'll be doing your press releases in Semaphore or Morse code. And Keith, tell us all about this complicated strategy for the Ultima, would you?
Right, no, I'm back Connacht Ramblin and Kiltearney Briggs, and I hope one of them wins, because it's coupled or what? Well, it's 10-1 Connacht Ramblin, or 12s actually, are still getting in. Kiltearney Briggs with 18-1. So yeah, they're the two ones Dutch. I'll be backing Pat's Fancy though as well. If you want a single in a race, Kiehl's has obviously talked the case for that, and this horse just looks like he's going to relish a marathon trip. So yeah, I'll be backing that horse if you just want to keep it simple with one. But as I say, my best bet on that Tuesday is that Dutch pair in the Ultima.
Okay, thank you very much. So how are we warming up for the festival? Kiehl's, it sounds like you're taking it nice and easy with a big day on the lash at Sandown, yeah?
Yeah, no, I am actually considering driving to Sandown so that I don't go on the lash, to be fair. So, because I have got to drive down to Cheltenham on Sunday afternoon. So yeah, might not.
Okay, well, it sounds like you're also having a disco in the background. So
That wasn't me. That was
my ringtone. That.
You ever imagine me having a disco, Bruce, for God's sake?
No, I did see you dance in a Spanish restaurant about 20 years ago. Do you remember that? It was a Racing Post Sports Desk Christmas do. Right, yeah, really? It only lasted about 5 seconds, but the memory is etched, the sight of it is etched in my memory forever.
Obviously completely wasted, as I never dance unless I am completely.
No, absolutely. Okay, Kiehl's, well listen, good luck for next week. Stay safe and hope plenty of winners there. Leon, I need to wish you luck, because like I say, I don't trust your throat. I know you have got legendary stamina, but are you slightly concerned, Leon?
No, listen, Bruce, we'll be okay. It's only a little bit of a hoarse voice. It won't stop. It won't stop the thoroughbreds, Bruce. You know me a long time. We'll be all right come next week. We'll get ourselves prepared to fly up Monday and look forward to four brilliant days racing.
Okay, Leon. Well, listen, you have a great week. And Keith, you're the ultimate pro. You'll be the one sat in your bunker up in Yorkshire, staying sober, being sensible, backing all the winners and running the show in your role as Racing Post betting editor. How excited are you?
Quite this year. I mean, I've not got as excited for it this year. I used to do all the form for all 28 races, but I'm sticking with my beat a little more this year, so I'm really excited for the handicap chases. But the rest of it would be a bit different, and it's all business, I'm afraid, at this end, as you allude to. So Sunday, the Tuesday decks come through, and that's it. You flick the switch, and that's me until they cross the line in the Martin Pipe, because I'll be doing all the previews for the paper, so I'll start off doing those on Sunday. And then on Wednesday, I'm actually coming down. I'll be down in the studio doing a lot of Racing Post Lives, doing a lot of In the Nose and What a Shouts. So I'm looking forward to that, but that's going to be great to spend a bit of time with people. You know, the last time the office was so busy would have been the 2020 festival. So we're all looking forward to that. And so I'm looking forward to more the second half of the week, really, because by then I've done all my writing and I'm sitting there, I'm watching the racing, reacting to it and enjoying it with all the other fans.
Good. I shall see you there. Thank you very much indeed, gents, for your expertise. Hopefully there's plenty of winners there. Most of all, thank you for listening. Great to have you along on the Racing Postcast. Back on Monday for another great show.